everybody get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Foodie and the Beast with the fabulous David Nellis and the not-so-bad herself, Nikki Nellis.
Well, thank you.
We're like, I don't know what we're like. We're like Jimmy Fallon or Jay Leno or Jimmy
Kimmel. We're nothing
we got any of that. But we got a studio full of luminaries today.
Oh, well, that's
true. It's
going
to be fun. So if you don't know, Sips and Sups is a huge annual fundraiser started by Alice Waters, our own Jose Andres, and our own Joe Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
It celebrates its sixth year tonight. It benefits DC Central Kitchen and Martha's Table, and they bring in celebrity chefs and mixologists from across the country to raise money for those good causes. And in with us today are three of the top chefs participating. David Lawrence, who's the executive chef at 1300 on Fillmore in beautiful San Francisco. He was rubbing it in a little while ago. Michael Solomonov is the James Beard Award-winning chef owner of Zahav, Cook
in
& Solo.
In Philadelphia.
In Philly. Well, Who's doing this?
Sorry. Go
back
ahead.
Down, baby.
All right, go ahead.
All right. And also, we've got James Beard Award-winning cookbook author and TV star. No movies? What's the matter, baby? Natalie Dupree, which is soon, coming soon. And also, Jose's special guest for Sups and for a big event on the 30th at Zetinia is Greek cookbook author and chef Aglaya Kremezi. She's in with us
as well.
Did
he say it right? Hello.
I did say it right.
Okay, good.
Accidenti, and that's Italian. All right, so who else we got?
Okay, so get ready to rumble, or there may be a little rumbling in the studio. It is DC Meat Week coming up, and later on is DC Meat Free Week, and the two vegan versus carnivores are going to go at it in studio. We have Amber McDonald and Mike Bober. They are both going to stay in their corners until it's time to bring the dukes out.
Yeah, and Mike brought in Chef Shea Rudel Tabasola from the barbecue food truck with some awesome barbecue.
Right,
so I may go with the meat eaters.
Just to whet our appetites a little bit. And Riz Lacoste, good friend, chef owner of Riz, has just opened up her larder at Union Market. She's brought in lots of treats, and it's her birthday. Happy birthday, Miss Riz. Oh, and it's Joan's birthday,
and both of
too.
Them 29 again, and again and again.
And as many of you know, or maybe you don't know, I don't like Riesling. I don't like it. Everybody wants me to drink it, and I just don't enjoy it. But Max Culler is in from Doi Moi, and they are doing a whole month dedicated to Riesling, and he's going to try to change my palate. So, Max, come on up to the mic. We're going to start right with you.
She's an anti-Rieslingite.
I'm an anti-Rieslingite.
I have heard. I don't know if I am up for the challenge
I know.
Or not.
I'm a pain in the neck.
Quite a few...
Let me just echo that. She is a pain.
I am a pain in the neck.
For so many
reasons.
But
no, so what is it about you Psalms and Riesling? You all love them, and you're always like, oh no, I have a Riesling that you're going to love. What is that all about?
Maybe it's that we think that there's one for everyone, and that maybe it's because we think there's one for everyone, including you.
Okay.
And it's like this, you know, we love that eternal challenge of being the one who gets you to love a Riesling.
Okay.
But I mean, for ourselves, I think, you know, Riesling has...
Max, I just want you to know, I've been trying for 20 years to get her to try Kippered Herring. It's not going to happen.
I'll try it, but
yeah,
I'm not eating Kippered Herring. Mm. Anyway, so go ahead. So why your love, personally, for Riesling?
I love the combination of the wonderful aromatics and fruit flavors with the great acidity and freshness that Rieslings tend to have. They are very expressive of the site that they come from. They're very expressive of the type of soil. There's a lot of famous Rieslings that come from slate soils of Germany where you really get that, you know, kind of
minerally.
That minerally kind of great quality. Mm-hmm. And they're great food wines. You know, their alcohol, you know, can be quite modest, which is great with food. At Doi Moi, they're just, you know, kind of the darling of the list. Because,
well, for those who don't know about Doi Moi and the cuisine there, talk about why those wines go so well.
So we are doing a, you know, fairly authentic Thai and Vietnamese food. The Thai food is quite hot, and all the food is quite...
Every table comes with a fire extinguisher.
I love it.
That's how hot
it
is.
Well,
delicious.
The fire extinguisher is often the Riesling. You know, it's the Riesling, you know, especially when you get something with a little bit of residual sugar, that great kind of fruity, viscous kind of quality up front, and those aromatics really play off all that Southeast Asian spice, the Thai basil, the Thai chili, the green peppercorn, all that stuff.
Great.
You know, really kind of sings with the Riesling. And the acidity and the freshness kind of cleans the palate and leaves you, you know, wanting to have more food.
So. Well, what are you going to start us with this morning?
So we're going to start you with something on the dry, the very dry end of the realm.
Okay.
Something from Southeast Australia.
Mm-hmm.
It is from a winery called...
You have to talk in front of the mic.
It's from a winery called... The visual doesn't matter.
I know. It's
radio.
It feels like a party, but it's not. I know.
We're not at your house.
Yeah, I'm used to... The bottle is my friend. It comes from a winery called Pussy Vale.
Okay.
An old winery that makes great, cool climate, Australian Riesling. You know, to me, it's actually, you know, almost a Sauvignon Blanc alternative. It's very crisp.
Okay, well, we're going to have
clean.
You pour it.
Yeah.
And we're going to move on to our next guest.
All right.
Right?
Well, we mentioned that Sips and Sups is this weekend. We went to Sips last night and sipped plenty.
We did. It was
fun. And Sups is tonight. And basically, it's a bunch of fabulous dinners at private residences around the town, all cooked by fabulous local and chefs, out-of-town chefs who are paired with local chefs.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got three of the folks who are going to be cooking tonight. As I mentioned, David Lawrence, he's going to be paired with Carla Hall, our own Carla Hall. Michael Solomonov is going to be paired with, I guess, DC expat Adam Sobel,
right.
Who's now at RN74 in San Francisco. And Natalie Dupree is going to be paired with our buddy David Guas, who's
right.
a cool dude.
He is a cool dude.
He's a way cool dude. So, guys, why don't we kind of take it from the top? Michael, we'll start with you. You're down at the far end. Give us your background. How did you end up a celebrity chef?
Oh, my gosh. I'm not a celebrity chef.
Yes, you are.
I sort of fell into cooking. I got a job. I dropped out of college and ended up in Israel.
He and Rob went to the same school.
I know.
Isn't
that amazing?
Yeah, I know. And we, I was an art major that didn't speak any Hebrew, so I had no skills. I started working at a bakery and fell in love with it, and then went to school here in the States, and then just, you know, I got hooked up with the right people. And that was it. And then after a while...
You make it sound so easy.
I know.
When the show's over, I'm going to do that.
Well, you know, you surround yourself by really good people that sort of inspire you and make you laugh and all that.
Well, so for people who aren't familiar with what your properties are, can you just tell us a little bit about each?
Sure. Well, Zahav restaurant is like it's an Israeli restaurant in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Federal Donuts is a donut and fried chicken and coffee place.
Right.
And Percy Street Barbecue is a like Texas-inspired barbecue restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And... we're opening a restaurant called Dizengoff, which is going to be like a hummusia, like a little hummus stall.
Great.
And a place called Abe Fisher, which is going to be the other side of Zahav, sort of like European and American Jewish small plates.
What?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Wait, oxymoron. There's no such thing as a Jewish small plate.
Okay. There is.
Not according to my grandmother.
Sammy's
anyway.
Romanian.
Right.
And have it marry Opie de Cochon in Montreal. It would birth the child, Ib Fisher.
Wow.
Yeah.
We did our Jack and Jill, what was it? We didn't do a bachelor, bachelor party. We did a Jack and Jill, and we did it at Sammy's Romanian.
Really?
It was so much fun.
Yeah, but I would never. Jack and Jill sounds so,
I don't know. But that's what it's called.
All right. For whatever.
Whatever. It was 18 years ago. It was a long time ago.
All right.
So,
worked out really well.
Yeah. I'm here.
There you go.
All right. So David Lawrence, let's talk to you for a minute. You're paired with Carla tonight. Your background's great. You were telling me your whole story. It's an awesome story. Fire away, baby.
Well, I got into cooking at a very early age. My hero was Graham Kerr of the Galloping Gourmet, mm-hmm. if you can remember that far back.
Some of us can, yes.
I'm showing my age here. And I basically lied my way in with the Roux brothers and worked at the Gavroche and La Gamma and Le Pourbeau. And eventually came to America on a vacation and bumped into someone I worked with back at the Roux Brothers. And it was shocking.
That's not quite the story. It was a waitress who walked over and said, David, what are you doing here?
Yeah, basically, she said, what are you doing here? She's kind of beautiful. My girlfriend's like, who is that woman? I said, I know her. And she said, I get around, baby. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
She was none too pleased. But, her boyfriend actually replaced me at the Gavroche. And I had taken a picture of everybody I worked with. And I had his picture in a drawer for 2 years and didn't know who he was.
That's
and
amazing.
2 years later, I'm meeting this guy. He opens this restaurant in San Mateo, California. up the road from my friends and said, we should work together. Two Rue restaurant chefs in California, in San Mateo. It's going to be great. And I said, yeah. My girlfriend said, no. But a year and a half later, I came back and worked with him and been in California ever since.
And where is she now?
She's back in Hartford. Yeah, very sleepy town outside of
London.
But
can we talk about your restaurant right now?
Yeah, it's 1300 really different. Is a restaurant, and I eventually met my future wife, mm-hmm. and whose family's from the South, and she started cooking me Southern-style food, grits and stuff like that, and I'm like, this is interesting. And eventually, I was invited to James Beard House for Black History Month. Mm-hmm. And if you can see me, if I keep my mouth shut, I look like an African American. And so
you do?
We can't see it on radio, but trust me.
No, honestly, you could just talk the entire show. Your voice is so fantastic.
Thank you very much.
When I go home today, I'll be talking
like
that.
Please don't do that. Don't embarrass yourself.
So I was there in New York at James Beard House, and I'm doing sauté foie gras on cornbread with a little huckleberry sauce and an apple crisp. And everybody looked at my dish and said, I think you've got something. And I said, yeah, I think you're right. I'll never forget this French guy who had a few restaurants that was there helping. He said, do you want to stay in New York and work with us? We could do something with you. I said, no, I'm not going to be anywhere colder than London. And I'm going back to California. And we tried to open up a restaurant in the 90s. It wasn't the right time. And then this project came up, and we opened up 1300 on Fillmore Street.
Fantastic.
And been open for 6-7 years
and
now.
The rest is history.
All right.
Yeah. All right, so Natalie. Mr. Step Great. Up to the plate.
Yes, sir.
So you've written, among all your TV successes and all that, you've written, 13 cookbooks?
Yeah, I get confused, but 13 or 14.
All right, so how
yeah.
did all this happen?
Well, it's always one step after the other. But when I was about 18, I was living in an international student house, and the cook got sick. And so I took over and cooked for 2 weeks, and I loved it. And I told my mother I wanted to be a cook. And she said, ladies don't cook, but if you can find any lady that's running a restaurant, you know, I'll support you. But otherwise, no, because she really desperately wanted me to be a lady. It didn't take, but
she
wanted
that. Now, are you from Charleston originally? Is that what kind of lady we're talking about?
No, I grew up in Virginia. I grew up.
Southern lady, though.
Yeah, and near here. And so, I couldn't find anyone in 1959 or whatever it was I could find no one running a restaurant, no woman. So I waited another 10 years, and then my favorite former husband and I moved to London. And
how many are there?
Well, I don't ask you personal questions.
Well, it's okay. He'll tell you.
It's okay. This is my third try. This is success. I got no problem with that. It's like baseball.
I'm on my third too.
Okay.
And so.
Yeah, but mine died. It was terrible.
Well, I lost one too, so just watch it. But after the fact. My favorite former husband and I moved to London, and someone was looking for a flat too, which is an arduous process. And she said she was going to go to the London Cordon Bleu the next day. And I said, what's that? And so all I knew about the Cordon Bleu was Audrey Hepburn, and that was in France. So I went to the Cordon Bleu, and I saw a demonstration of puff pastry wrapped around a lamb chop with a sauce chasseur. Homemade brown sauce, and I called all sorts of people for dinner, and I went home to my furnished flat, and I tried to make it, and I couldn't. The puff pastry was on the ceiling, the brown stock was on the floor, so we had lamb chops for dinner, and that I could do. And so I got so mad, I didn't care if I was a lady, and I signed up for the professional course.
Fantastic.
And then when I got my certificate from there, I went to Spain, and I had a restaurant in Spain in Majorca. And then I left Majorca, and I returned to the South with my favorite former husband. And we started a restaurant around the largest paper route in Covington, Georgia, to start it. And we had a little country restaurant. And
the rest is history.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We have to take a quick break. When we come back. No, not at all.
No.
We just have to, unfortunately. But when we come back, we're going to talk about how you all are partnering up with people at Sips and Subs and how you're going to make it happen tonight. This is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
This is an important message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Protect yourself against hypothermia and frostbite during cold weather. Wear warm clothing that covers your skin and remove any wet clothing immediately. Limit your time outdoors. Watch for signs of hypothermia and frostbite among elderly adults, babies, people drinking alcohol, and others at risk. Seek immediate medical attention if you suspect someone has hypothermia or frostbite. To learn more, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
Are you in the Metro DC area looking for something free to do with a family? Visit usarmyband.com to see what the United States Army Band has on tap. With weekly concerts, chamber music recitals, and educational workshops that are sure to entertain and inspire any music lover. And all performances are free. Get out, enjoy the music, and rest assured you'll leave feeling good about the flag. Visit usarmyband.com. That's usarmyband.com. You can also follow them on Facebook at facebook.com/USArmyBand.
I am for the child who's had 7 addresses in a single year because she's in foster care, because her father abused her, and because her mother couldn't believe her. I am for her, the child who no longer believes in others or believes in herself. I am for that child, so I am there for that child. To listen to her, to speak for her, to champion without compromise for what's in her best interest. Because if I am, she will be half as likely to languish in foster care and that much more likely to find a safe, permanent home. That is the child I am for. I am a volunteer child advocate. I am you.
Lift up a child's voice, a child's life. Get involved at CasaForChildren.org.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
Hey, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and we're talking to all our special guests who are in town for
Supps. Our guests are always special.
They're always special, but I want to talk to you guys. David Lawrence, you're paired with Carla Hall. Michael Solomonov, you're paired with Adam Sobel, who kind of is a DC-er, sort of. Natalie Dupree, you're paired with David Gwass. How hard is it to, you know, you're putting on a dinner for a lot of people tonight, but you had to work with these people kind of long distance. And when you can't taste what the other's suggesting and all that, how hard is it
to collaborate?
That's what I was going to ask. I know.
Well, for me, it was over the phone, and Carla's really easy to work with. Mm-hmm. And we have very similar styles in food, and she has a West Indian dish, which is near and dear to my heart because my family's from Jamaica. So to start off the first course. And you just leave your ego at the door and just say, hey, what do you want to do? And I told her what I wanted to do. She told me what she wanted to do. And it kind of married. And especially coming from somewhere as far as San Francisco, one of the dishes I did was a braised short rib, which I was able to braise in San Francisco, cryovac, put it into my little box, ice it, and put it through customs, and hopefully they haven't eaten it all.
Wasn't Ted Williams' head cryovac'd? Yeah. Walt Disney?
What about you, Michael?
Oh, they'll be back. So what about you guys?
So I don't know. Adam and I get along pretty well, and we've cooked
together
before.
We were with Adam last night. Do you know him? He's a wild guy.
Adam's a great guy. He was with me in Israel, actually, a few months ago.
I didn't know you were with him there.
Yeah, he's a riot, and we get along great, and there's anything to trust about Adam, I think it's his cooking.
So how did you guys...
Wait, anything or the only thing?
The only thing.
We've been down some roads together. Yeah. So
how did you guys come up with your menu?
You all. I haven't had any Riesling yet, so I'm not going to spill my guts about Adam. Excuse me?
So what did you guys come up with for your menu for tonight?
We're doing a kosher menu, actually. And so we've got some really good short ribs, actually, from Grow and Behold, which is this like organic grass-fed... kosher purveyor, and we're going to do a little bit of crudité and a little bit of tonnato. He's going to do some Arctic char with some...
Were you asked to do a kosher meal, or is it something you both wanted to do?
We were asked.
Okay, I was just sort of curious.
I mean, we're happy to do it. It makes things a little bit difficult. We can't just cryovac stuff and travel with it.
Right.
So hopefully it'll
work
out.
So in other words,
well.
He's saying that he's working much harder than you. That's what he's saying.
Yes.
Gauntlet thrown.
This guy
work
over
smarter,
here.
Work smarter, not harder.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm not that smart.
And Natalie, let's talk about you and David Gwos working together. How are you doing it?
We get along very well. We're sort of a Mutt and Jeff kind of a team. I mean, we make each other laugh. And mm-hmm. so, you know, if you can laugh together, you can cook together, I always say. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's the first time I've ever said that.
But
I think
really
it's
good.
True. It sounded good. But I've got grits cooking in a slow cooker. We mm-hmm. both love grits. And I brought up some quail from South Carolina, some Manchester Farm. Mm-hmm. And I have some little baby quail eggs. I'm topping the quails with pepper jelly, grilling mm-hmm. them and putting pepper jelly on them. And then I'm putting them on my grits. David is doing crawfish, and he has the proof is in the pudding. He's doing a rice pudding for dessert. And mm-hmm. I'm doing an apple and fennel salad, and he's doing a starter. So we just are pairing, you know, alternating, and it's going to be fun. It's really going to be a good meal. And I think all of these are good. I want to eat everywhere. Mm-hmm. But I will say Riesling is very good with Southern cooking.
Now you're on the poop list.
Sorry.
So, you're out of here.
Like pepper jelly and...
I get what it's supposed to do. I understand what it does.
Yeah.
I know
all
how
right.
it
I hate to do
food.
This.
I know.
I'm
going to
jump
other
in.
People.
I want to thank you all for coming. I know you guys got
to
get cooking, so we're going to set you free on that. But thanks so much. And if you're out there listening, guess what? You can't get into Supps because it's sold out, baby.
It is sold out.
And all that money goes to DC Central Kitchen and Martha's Table, which is a good thing. So, guys,
next
thank
year.
You all
thanks
very
so much.
Much
for having us.
Yes, thank you.
So,
okay.
We're going
to... We need to bring you up.
Right. Aglaya Kremezi is a renowned Greek cookbook author, and she's a buddy of Jose Andres, and she's come in town to be... Actually, you're cooking at Supps, too, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, she's cooking at Supps
everybody,
tonight.
Everybody, Riz is cooking at Supps too, there's everybody.
Also, there's also a special event
at
Zaytinya on the 30th that we want to talk about. So,
yes.
You know what? Let's start with you. Give us your background.
Well, my
How
background,
did all this happen?
My background is very, it's quite strange because I cooked with my mother and with my grandmother, but I'm a professional journalist, actually. I worked as a journalist. I created magazines and newspapers for... lifestyle magazines for 35 or 40 years, but I was always cooking because I love cooking and entertaining. So even if even when I was working 12-hour days at the newspapers, I was always having people for lunch or dinner because I love cooking. And then at some point in the early 90s, I saw all these wonderful Italian books about Italian cooking, and I said, hang on a minute. We have a very interesting cooking in Greece. And why aren't there any cookbooks?
You got competitive, right?
So I did my first book, which actually won me a Julia Child Award, mm-hmm. The Foods of Greece. And then kind of like slowly it became my actual career, cooking and writing about food and researching the food of the Mediterranean.
Mm-hmm.
So I have 5 books in this country and mm-hmm. Another 5 in Greece. But I'm not a professional chef. So I rely on when we do events and all that, I work with the chefs, and I'm very happy to work with the Zaytinya Kitchen and with Michael Costa, who is working with me tonight.
Well, let's talk about the research you do for your books.
Uh-huh.
Are you looking at historical data is how the change in products available. What do you do when you're trying to put your book together?
First of all, I'm trying to find the different versions of the different dishes all around the Mediterranean.
Mm-hmm.
Names can be very confusing because by the same name, different dishes are called around the Mediterranean.
Mm-hmm.
But looking for variations, because all the Mediterranean, this is poor people's cooking. Mm-hmm. And people had to cook with whatever ingredients they have. Basically vegetarian, but using a little bit of meat, the little bit of meat they had, mm-hmm. for, say, you know, like you use the bouillon, for example, mm-hmm. For tasting, you know, to give a little bit of taste. So I'm trying. That's how I learned to eat, because I'm quite old. I'm one of the last generation. I was born after the quite close to World War II.
So was my
husband. So there was. So there.
It's true.
You know, come on. Anyway, you know, anyway, but the thing is that
I'm not
the
lying.
Thing is. The thing is that these were really trying times, and people had to do, with little things. Mm-hmm. I mean, chicken was extremely expensive when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. It was the most expensive food because there were not these big industrial, chicken farms. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so this is the cooking what I'm practicing, and that's how I learned to cook.
All right. Well, so let's talk about. I'm going to try and pronounce it, but it's not going to happen right. Kirosfaya.
Did I pronounce it wonderfully, actually.
You know, actually, I'm a very continental kind of guy.
So
tell us about.
This is exactly the opposite
butcher
of caution.
Words, no,
let's put it mildly. This is exactly the opposite of caution now. So.
All right. tell us about that event and what's going to happen there.
Hirosfaya is something, because every family on the islands, and I come from the island of Kea, where I live now. I moved from Athens, and we have a garden and all that. So we move because to the island of my grandfather, mm-hmm. and we have a small cooking school where we have people coming.
I want to come to
I have
cooking
vacation
school.
Cooking. In Kea. So in Kea, like in all the Cycladic islands, mm-hmm. in January, they slaughter the family pig. Mm-hmm. They just have a pig every year, and then they slaughter it, and they do whatever, they use all the different parts of the pig to do sausages. In the old days, they even used the skin of the pig to make the shoes. Mm-hmm. They were drying it and they were making
here these
shoes.
Here we make like footballs out of them.
They used the whole thing. Oh,
I know.
They
used
the
whole thing,
animal.
Nose to tail,
right.
Completely nose to tail. Mm-hmm. And we are going to do some dishes that we do in Kea. Mm-hmm. For example, we have here the jellied pork. Some people call it head cheese or something. Mm-hmm. But it's very light because you take out most of the fat and you add Seville orange or lemon juice and also garlic and capers. And it becomes a very light and interesting jellied, meze that you can have. Mm-hmm. That you will taste later. And this is the time for, on my island, this is a time for the greens. Mm-hmm. Because unlike Washington, which is completely...
You almost forgot where you are.
Exactly. No. I mean, I guess New York is extremely white as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, unlike here, my island is completely green now. Mm-hmm. Completely green. So all the wild greens grow. So we forage wild greens and we boil them to make salads. We call them horta. Mm-hmm. So we will have horta and we will have it at the dinner also, different greens. Mm-hmm.
So did you have to bring those greens with you? I mean, are those kinds of greens
available
here?
No, there are. I always, whenever I do dishes in different parts of the world, I use existing ingredients.
Okay.
I don't believe in bringing
it.
Unless it is, for example, I have brought for the dinner, I have brought something called the Greek caviar, mm-hmm. which is kind of like our botargo, the Greek botargo. Actually, mm-hmm. the word botargo, it's Greek in fact. It's called avgotaracho, mm-hmm. which I brought from Greece, and it's a wonderful delicacy. It's not very salty.
Okay.
It's extremely wonderful, so we're going to serve that at the dinner.
I need to jump in.
I know.
We've got 30 seconds before we go to commercial. Who are you paired with for subs tonight? Michael?
Michael Costa.
Okay.
The wonderful Michael Costa.
If you want to attend Kirosfaya,
yes,
at Zaytinya, just go to Zaytinya, ZAYTINYA.com because mm-hmm. Jose would kill
details.
Me if I spelled it wrong.
Right. All the details are there.
All the details are there and also on the list. Thank you.
Right.
Aglaya, you were
thank
great,
you
man.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
You
okay,
were great. And how close to World War II were you born? Come on, what?
47?
Oh, well, you're a baby.
He's 49, so there you go. Okay,
that's right, the 40s, baby.
This
all
is
right,
David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast, right? Is it commercial break time?
It is commercial break
all
time.
All right, we'll be back in just a sec.
What do you want to be when you're older?
When I'm older, I want to be a singer. That's my goal.
An organizer of like do-gooders.
I want to be a media mogul.
When I'm older, I want to be anything but the one that doesn't fit in, the one that people don't love.
Everyone deserves a dream,
but some of us are depressed,
anxious,
angry,
scared,
don't feel like ourselves.
If that's you, say something.
Talk to someone. People will listen. Add your voice at oktotalk.org. Oktotalk.org.
Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters.
For over a century, Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington has served the youth in our nation's capital. The club's new STEAM initiative uses the arts to teach science, technology, engineering, and math. Today, more than ever, we need your support of STEAM. It will encourage our youth to think rather than memorize, create rather than copy, and to be resourceful rather than reserved. So visit boysandgirlsclubs.org. Send a dollar or more as an investment to help us help our kids pick up STEAM. Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, great futures start here.
This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
When I served in Iraq and Afghanistan, my buddies and I would do anything for each other. That's important whether you're in a firefight or fighting to regain your life. When I came home injured, there are people I can count on, like DAV.
DAV, Disabled American Veterans, stands behind America's veterans to make their transition back home easier with free services and help getting the benefits they've earned. Help us fulfill the promise to our men and women who served. Go to DAV.org to learn more.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide. But only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. Max Culler from Doy Moy, baby.
All right, so I'm going to say on air that I like the first one. I did.
Oh,
I mean, I don't think I would order it, but I do like it. But like the second, what's the second one that you just poured? That's mine.
So the second one comes from the Finger Lakes in New York, from Seneca Lake. It's Herman Wehmer. And Herman Wehmer was a German guy who came to the Finger Lakes in 1976 and kind of discovered that it had a very nice terroir for the grape. And I think makes one of the best domestic Rieslings still. To me, this is definitely a little more floral and soft and has, even though it's a dry Riesling, has a little more sweetness or kind of perception of sweetness to it. But, you know, it's a perennial favorite of mine. And, you know.
Well, do you find that this one really cuts the spiciness?
I think this one will hold up to more spice than the first one. The first one, I think, you know, has a nice role of kind of being an aperitif. It's a great, you know, kind of Riesling for someone who doesn't like sweetness and doesn't think they like Riesling. So maybe that's why we started with that. But this one, I think, has a lot more of a place with the cuisine at Doy Moy.
All right, let's slug it down. And while we do, let's talk to Riss Lacoste. Everybody knows Riss. Riss is the executive chef at 1789. She's the one who put him on the map. She left, and about a year and a half later, opened her own, you're going to love this word, eponymous restaurant.
Eponymous, yeah.
Yeah, which sounds so funny, but it means it's named after her, and it's called Riss, and it's a huge hit over by the Ritz-Carlton. And now she's got a prepared food stall or stalls.
One stall, 140 lovely square feet.
Why do it? Why take on the added stress? I mean, my God.
No, I think it's fun. I think, you know, I was blessed to meet up with Bob Kincaid when I came back from Paris, and we opened a restaurant every 3 years. You know, we're in Cambridge, we moved to Nantucket, then we moved to D.C., and then, you know, we opened a couple of restaurants here. And I think after about 3 years, we're 4 years old now, it's time to... It's
you
time to do something and time to motivate your staff as well, you know?
I said, why do it? And then I took a taste of this pudding thing, and now I know why you did it.
Okay, but let's talk about your vision. What is it that you wanted to do at Union Market?
Union Market, I thought, was a great way to market Riss, you know, to fill the seats at Riss, to keep it alive, and to introduce ourselves. And, our food is not, our food is delicious. And so I wanted to introduce our food to a whole new crowd of people.
Right.
You know, we have an absolutely amazing clientele at Riss, very affluent, very wonderful West End neighborhood clientele, and so we want to get to a new group of people, and Union Market is fabulous for that. Hundreds of people pass through there, especially on the weekends,
and it's insane.
And a very diverse community, and they use it as a community space, so it's really, really cool to be part of a community effort. I'm loving it.
And what are you, but so what can people find there? What can they find at your larder?
People can find where Chef's Larder, the Chef's Larder side of it is we do chicken, you know, we do stocks. Mm-hmm. We do dressings, about three different dressings. Okay. We do sauces, ketchups that we make, side dishes. We do braised red cabbage. We do collard greens, marinated beets, things like that that you can get. We do our famous meatloaf, so we can you can get that on Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. We do our we have spaghetti and meatballs on Wednesdays. We do all kinds
of
different
things.
So you
can get a meal to take home.
Absolutely. Chicken pot pie. Our chicken pot pie you can get to take home as well. And we do pies and puddings.
Oh,
these delicious ham pies and puddings.
What? Let's talk about the meat pie.
This speaks
to me on so many levels. It is so yummy. And
so we do these little hand pies, sweet pies and savory pies. We do quiche, and this French Canadian meat pie is my mother's recipe. Mm-hmm. My sisters all make it now, and they have taught me the way. And so my bakers make it. And so it's a little hand meat pie. It's just ground pork and pork and tater pie. Mm-hmm. French Canadian. This is the holidays. This is all we have. And it's become a huge hit at the market.
I bet.
And then the sweet pies. We have banana cream pie today. These are blueberry pies. Mm-hmm. We do pecan pies, different little pies, and then different little quiches.
So were you thinking when you were doing this that first, people could get a taste of the kind of food offered at Riz, but also they could sort of stock their own pantries with your stocks and sauces and things of that nature so that they can do maybe a little bit, buy some things to put on the table, but also make some things on their own?
Well, we're asked to do Chef's Larder, and I think that Chef's Larder is great, and you can take things at home, and then we want to do something there because it's certainly not a food court, but there's a handful of places where you can buy food, and a lot of people who come as a group, go out and search their tacos, their empanadas,
food court
their whatever,
Union Market. They
and then
really
they
mad.
Meet
yeah,
back at nervous. A table and have, so we have wrist bowls also. We have a hot bowl this week. It's a delicious, delicious venison chili with red berry relish. It's absolutely awesome. And we have a Thai papaya, green papaya salad. And we also have kids bowls. This week it's grilled cheese. Next week it's spaghetti and meatballs. It's going to be hot dogs next.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of families who come with children, and it's great to have something for them to eat as well.
Listen, I think the concept of Union Market makes so much sense.
Oh,
we
great.
Go regularly. Our kids love it there.
Yep.
And I think that's what people love, that you can sit down and have all these different food options.
It's
and
great
really
for
explore.
This town. I think they're really loving it and really responding to it. It's just a great community space.
Okay.
David wants to talk about the pudding.
It's all gone already.
So our bakers are amazing, and our pastry chefs, our cooks and pastry cooks, and we're doing pies and puddings from their kitchen. And so you're eating that delicious chocolate pudding. Isn't it awesome? And then butterscotch pudding is on our menu, and we can't take it off because it's a favorite hit. So we do rice pudding.
Funny?
We do different flavor tapioca pudding. We'll do different pies and different puddings through any given day of the week.
Now, does your kitchen at Riz have the capability? Like, is it big enough?
We're doing it. We are. Yes, it's big enough for one, you know, maybe two of these spots. I don't know what will happen next, but they can handle it now. And it's fun. It's a project for everybody. So the entire restaurant's involved in the market.
So where are you? Where are you? I know I have a hole in my stomach.
Where am I?
No.
Yes. Oh, I'm just the schlepper. So every morning I get up and I go to the restaurant.
My husband, he's a schlepper too.
I am. I go to the restaurant and I pick up the goods and I bring them to the market.
Yeah, whatever you are. I
guess. You know, so I'm there usually at the market on Tuesdays because that's the day we introduce the new bowls, the new wrist bowls, and teach the girls how to make it.
Okay.
Allison Cortez, one of our managers, is managing the market. Mm-hmm. And then I'm there on Saturdays. That's our busiest day at the market. So all day Saturday. But I'm at the restaurant every day of the week. So.
Well, that just sounds like so much fun for
it
you.
It is a lot of fun. I'm really, really enjoying it. And, you know, I grew up at a diner, so there's a lot of diner-esque aspect to this. And
were you
serving chowder.
What do you mean you grew up in a diner?
I grew up in a diner. And And working at Friendly's, kind of Dinah-esque in Massachusetts.
I worked at a Friendly's. Where in Massachusetts?
New Bedford.
Oh, I was in Amherst.
With the accent. I love it. Yeah. Well, this is terrific, and we're so excited for you. And just lastly, you are also cooking at Supps tonight, right?
Yeah, Jeffrey Boobin and I paired up, and I'm so excited about that. I helped him open Vidalia, so I'm looking forward to working with him tonight.
I bet.
And we're at a house that has been doing this for 6 years. I'm on the board of DC Central Kitchen as well, so it's an amazing event, and we have more homes than ever this year.
I know.
33 homes, and it is sold out. So thank all of you in town and all of you visiting chefs for coming and helping this amazing cause and Martha's Table. So we're really looking forward to having a great night tonight.
All right.
Well, so
thanks,
just, so for people who don't know, tell everybody where Riz is and where they can find the larder.
Okay. Riss is a great classy neighborhood joint at 2275 L Street in the West End.
Okay.
A great spot, wonderful, comfortable, great environment, great ambiance.
Same block as the Ritz-Carlton Hotel.
That's right, in that building. Mm-hmm. And then Riss Union Market is at 5th and Florida, mm-hmm. Right next to Gallaudet University. We're all going to learn sign language, which is very exciting.
That is exciting.
It's a great spot, great, great community spot. Come by. Come during the week. We need the business, but certainly the weekend is where it's happening. So
excellent.
Hope to see you
and
there.
And have, what are these called? What are the meat pies called?
These are French-Canadian meat pies.
Have the chocolate pudding.
And have the little blueberry pies.
And now I'm going to be told why I shouldn't be eating the meat pies, because that's coming up
that's
next.
Right.
All right.
All right. So now,
Mike.
Now we're going to get into real controversy.
We are.
Meat versus no meat. It's DC Meat Week, which starts on the 3rd of February, versus DC Meat Free Week, vegans versus carnivores. Amber McDonald and Mike Bober are here. And I guess in that corner, the vegans, Amber.
Well, can I just say that after you sent your bullet points over, David was like,
I can't eat pig anymore.
I don't think I can eat pig anymore until, of course, the barbecue showed up, and he was like, I mean, maybe I can.
No, I never said. See, now that makes me sound like a hypocrite, which I am. But
right.
That makes me sound like one.
We have barbecue during meat-free week.
But make the point, because, I mean, pigs are actually smarter than dogs. They're more...
Scientists say that pigs are closer in intelligence and in their social capabilities. They should be classified more like chimps and dolphins. They're incredible. They're more like... They have the intelligence of three-year-olds.
And then we torture them as we raise them and kill them and eat them.
Exactly.
I think I'm done with pigs.
Okay.
They recognize their names. They enjoy listening to music. They're just amazing social beings.
All right. Well, we're going to wait. But we're going
to
back up.
No. But we have disdain. Shush. We have disdain for them because they root around in the mud. And
I don't have any disdain for them.
I have the utmost respect for them. They are among the most delicious animals I've ever eaten.
Right, exactly. I'm
pagan, you pagan.
All right, how about if we introduce everybody?
I did introduce everybody.
Mike, let's hear what DC Meat Week is and how you started this week, because it's an annual event here in DC.
It is. This is actually the 5th annual DC Meat Week, and mm-hmm. we are one chapter of a national organization that is celebrating its 10th annual Meat Week.
Okay.
It was started down in Florida by two folks who are actually doing a national tour this year,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to be here in Washington to see how we do Meat Week on Friday night.
Oh, cool.
The D.C. chapter got its start 6 years ago when Tim Carman, who was then writing for the Washington City paper,
mm-hmm.
found out that this thing was happening across the country.
Okay.
He got people together at Urban Barbecue up in Rockville,
mm-hmm.
and it was so much fun. It was a one-night thing that year that I reached out to him, and the following year I asked him, I said, if no one else has approached you about this, I'd really like to do a DC Meat Week.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me his blessing, and since then, we've done it 5 years in a row. Every year, we start at Urban Barbecue in Rockville.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they're actually showing us two brand new sausages that they're launching,
okay.
And giving them to everybody to taste complimentary. And then we do 6 to 7 other nights over the course of the week.
Mm-hmm.
This year, our biggest event, again, is going to be the food truck face-off taking place at Living Social's 918 F Street spot on Friday night.
So do all the food trucks come inside? Like, they come in? How does that work?
This is actually more of a catering challenge than mm-hmm. a food truck challenge, because everybody is going to be serving indoors from tables.
Okay.
But it's 5 teams representing 5 of the barbecue food trucks that serve in the D.C. area.
Mm-hmm.
Barbecue bus.
Yeah. Che, right?
Che's here today to show you what he's got.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually our returning grand champions from last year's food truck face-off.
And
then beyond that, we've got Rocklands has a food truck now.
Mm-hmm.
We have Curly's Q. We have Hardy's Barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
And we have... carnivore barbecue.
Okay. All right. Well, wait. So now, Amber, just quickly, because we have
a minute.
Wait.
Chef, I want to make sure that it's Che Rudel Tabisola from Barbecue Bus. You're going to start handing out some barbecue now while we...
Okay. So, Amber, just quickly, tell us about Meat Free Week.
So,
and then when we come back, the two of you can have at it.
Absolutely. Meat Free Week started 5 years ago when
mm-hmm.
I was a brand new vegan and heard what Mike was up to.
Okay.
And so we...
You're the anti-Mike.
We organized it in about 2.5 days, also 7 to 8 days of awesome meat-free goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been going 5 years strong. This is also our 5th year. We kick off. This will be our 3rd year at Sticky Fingers. We do an amazing vegan barbecue, and you can get all the details at dcvegan.org.
Excellent. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to do the vegans versus the carnivores and some barbecue and maybe some Riesling. Okay, this is Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast and my husband, David. We'll be back in just a sec.
For mentioning.
Imagine someday is today on Saturday, March 22nd, 2014, at the annual Leukemia Ball presented by Pharma, featuring a fabulous silent auction and a chance to win one of two Mercedes-Benz automobiles. The Leukemia Ball raises funds for life-saving cancer research and patient programs provided by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. With music by Huey Lewis and the News and a comedic performance by Ryan Hamilton, guests will enjoy a night to remember. For sponsorship information or to purchase a raffle ticket, visit leukemiaball.org.
This is an important message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Protect yourself against hypothermia and frostbite during cold weather. Wear warm clothing that covers your skin and remove any wet clothing immediately. Limit your time outdoors. Watch for signs of hypothermia and frostbite among elderly adults, babies, people drinking alcohol, and others at risk. Seek immediate medical attention if you suspect someone has hypothermia or frostbite. To learn more, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
Are you in the Metro DC area looking for something free to do with the family? Visit usarmyband.com to see what the United States Army Band has on tap. With weekly concerts, chamber music recitals, and educational workshops that are sure to entertain and inspire any music lover. And all performances are free. Get out, enjoy the music, and rest assured you'll leave feeling good about the flag. Visit usarmyband.com. That's usarmyband.com. You can also follow them on Facebook at facebook.com/USArmyBand.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and we're talking about meat versus no meat. We've got Amber McDonald from, DC Meat Free Week, and Mike Bober from DC Meat Week. And they're having at it.
We're having at it. We're all talking about it.
They were rolling all over the floor wrestling. It was kind of cool, kind of interesting. But, I mean, make your case.
Thank you.
Make my case. Yeah. Well, I'm not a full-time animal advocate. I do this out of actually a love of food and a love of animals. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I encourage people to do their own research and to figure things out for themselves. But the whole reason I started down the path of veganism was I was reading a very short article that said cows actually had the intelligence of dogs. Mm-hmm. And I started questioning what I'd been eating. And so I started researching cows and next pigs. And as we've discussed, pigs are, frankly, pretty smart animals. Mm-hmm. And not that we need to base things on intelligence, but, you know, these are living, feeling creatures that we're doing real harm to. And 99% of our food comes from factory farm situations, which mm-hmm. we all can agree are horrific.
I agree with you on that.
Hmm. All right. I'm making a declaration.
Eat Chase barbecue.
I'm off pig.
Okay, well then
period.
Don't eat Chase barbecue.
I think that's fantastic.
That's more for the rest of us.
Okay. I'm done. More for the rest of us.
And honestly, I'm not here to say everyone needs to go vegan. You guys do Meatless Mondays, which is amazing. You mm-hmm. giving up pig would be amazing. Every single time we sit down to have a meal, we have a chance to make a decision to make a difference for the environment, for our health, for animals. And every time we choose to have a vegetarian or vegan meal, we're making a difference. And I think that's fantastic that you guys do Meatless Mondays. And mm-hmm. David, it's fantastic if you give up.
I'm done.
Pig. Uh-huh. That's fantastic.
All right. So, Mike, your turn.
Okay.
So let's hear it.
Well, I think part of the problem here is that Meat Week is at a bit of a disadvantage. We're more of a social gathering.
Right,
than
we're more
a,
about being gluttons.
Yeah, we're more we're more about socializing than social mm-hmm. issues here. Mm-hmm. Meat Week is really meant to be a celebration of what is, frankly, one of the most traditional and classic American food preparations, barbecue. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We celebrate it by going to local restaurants that really have a passion for this kind of thing. It's everybody from folks like me, Kansas City Barbecue Society certified judges, mm-hmm. down to people who just really like the taste of bacon.
Maybe you could fly under the radar since it's social and call it Meat M-E-E-T Week, and then no one would know.
Well, again, we are one chapter of a national organization. Honestly, mm-hmm. if we had had our druthers, we would be Barbecue Week. And if that were the case, I don't know that Meat Free Week ever would have existed. But because again, we are kind of the Joker to their Batman.
Right.
They would not have come into being if it hadn't been for us. Mm-hmm. But
look what you inspired.
Well, and that's true.
Right.
And if Meat Free Week is an upshot of Meat Week existing in D.C., we're happy for that.
And Amber's wearing an I Like Mike t-shirt.
While kicking him under the table.
That's the thing. We're really kind of frenemies. I mean, at the end of the day, the D.C. Meat Week ethos is get out there and have fun.
Right.
You know, almost every event is come as you are. The only event that really requires advanced thought and purchase is the food truck face-off, and that's mm-hmm. because it's ticketed entry. You have to go to Living Social's website to mm-hmm. make that purchase. Otherwise, you just get the information from meatweek.com mm-hmm. or you go to our Facebook page, which is the DC Meat Week chapter's Facebook mm-hmm. page. And all of those places really just give you opportunities to kind of find out what's going on. And if you're interested, you come out, you have a good time.
Okay.
We're all about giving everybody the opportunity to kind of make the choice as to what they want to eat.
Mm-hmm. And I should say that's absolutely true of Meat Free Week as well.
Look what we've achieved detente here.
I know. Everyone is welcome. You don't have to be vegan or vegetarian. Come out, try something different. You might be surprised. And if your passion is barbecue, give vegan barbecue a try.
Let's just talk for a second. First of all, I want to get Che in front of the mic.
Yeah, let's give Che a chance to.
Can you just stand in front of that mic for 2 seconds and tell us about these gorgeous barbecue plates that you are putting together? He's actually vegetarian.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Che. Tell us about what you put together here.
Sure. So this is actually our entry that we'll be making on Friday night. This is a beautiful pork shoulder and an Angus brisket that we've slow smoked overnight. And we're serving that with bacon mashed potatoes. We browned some butter before we...
I just ate the mashed potatoes.
In the blend of that. It's delicious, though.
All right, I'm off pig now.
And then we're serving that with our barbecue sauce number 5, which is a sweet, smoky sweet... Kansas City style barbecue sauce. We mm-hmm. actually got an honorable mention at the Safeway Barbecue Battle for that barbecue sauce.
All right.
I just want to say, Max, your father keeps FaceTiming me, and he has texted me. And
FaceTiming?
Yes, he's trying to get me on the phone, and he keeps saying, more Max.
Yeah, we're getting him on.
I would, knowing him, I would have thought it was a button.
All right, so let's quickly, email address, web address for the event.
DCvegan.org. We're still putting the final touches on our schedule. It'll be on the website in the next few days.
Okay.
All the details will be there.
But let's just give, so you got the big event over at
Sticky Fingers on Monday.
Okay.
Tuesday is a fundraiser for Compassion Over Killing mm-hmm. At Supergirl.
Right.
Wednesday, we're going to do a wind down Wednesday at Whole Foods, Foggy mm-hmm. Bottom. $5, 5 vegan treats, and 5 vegan wine pairings. And the rest of the schedule will be up on DC Vegan soon.
And Mike.
Excellent.
Where do we find you on the web?
You can find us at meatweek.com. Look for us under Cities, Washington, D.C. And again, we kick off tonight at Urban Barbecue's Chapman location in Rockville.
Okay.
And the big event is Friday night, the food truck face-off.
And Shay, where do we find
you?
You can follow us on Twitter at BBQBus, D.C.
Excellent. Everything is delicious. Awesome. Good luck. We hope you
win
again.
Maxie, step up to the mic there, Max.
All right.
Do you know that
we have a Max.
We have a Max and a Mike in our family. Mm-hmm. So look at you. Mm-hmm. We'll adopt you. All right. So what's our last Riesling? What are we talking?
So the last one we have is a German Riesling. It's from the Pfalz. And it is from a producer called Müller Kator.
Okay.
And it is one of their single vineyard Rieslings. It's from a vineyard called Gimmeldinger Mandelgarden.
You don't say that word.
I woke up this morning and I turned to Nikki. I said, baby, Gimmeldinger Mandelgarden. And then I won't tell
it
you.
It has
what
a ring
happened.
To it, right?
Yeah, it was an amazing morning.
But, you know, definitely a much richer style. It's Spätlese, so kind of a sweeter.
It's what? What is that?
So there's, without getting into a 3-minute description of that, it's basically the Germans use it's a system kind of a little bit akin to the Reserva, Gran Reserva system in Spain, where it's a quality system based on level of white of ripeness of the grapes that kind of
like the base Gallo classifies Italy, those. Right?
Yeah. Anyway, the point is, it's a lot of. I don't want to talk about that for 3 minutes.
Well, you're blushing
anyway,
now, man.
But it's a rich, you know, tropical style. A lot to me, I get a lot of kind of pineapple and banana, and this is the kind of thing you probably generally really dislike about Riesling. But you know, I think that this fruit is just really expressive and beautiful, with it? Still having, you know, a certain freshness to it. Especially when you get into the really high heat curries,
sweet. It's real sweet.
But when when you have this with high heat, like jungle curry, you know, it doesn't taste sweet
curry.
Anymore.
All right, we got to wrap up.
We have one more minute with him.
Wait.
We have one more minute. He can talk for another minute.
Yeah, he can keep talking, but I want to make sure, because really what we're trying to do is help you drive people to Doi Moi.
Exactly. So
we talk about how all this again.
I think there's a lot of people at Doi Moi. You know what? You can't get in.
We can use some more people.
Your dad would like to hear us drive traffic to Doi Moi, right, Mark?
So we're doing a little bit of a festival ourselves right now. We're doing something called the Winter of Riesling. And in 2008, a New York restaurateur, Paul Greco of Terroir and Hearth, started something called the Summer of Riesling, which has been... It's had lots of followers in the last 5 years. Proof is our sister restaurant. Proof has participated for the last few years, but we thought, you know, at Doi Moi, we can feature Riesling year round, being, you know, having the food that really complements it well. So we came up with Winter of Riesling, and so right now we're pouring seven different Rieslings by the glass at Doi Moi. Pretty much took over all our white wine.
Give us the street address of Doi Moi.
Doi Moi is 1800 14th Street Northwest.
How we doing, Mark? Okay,
And yeah, it's so we're encouraging people to kind of try the whole range of Rieslings. Right. We have Rieslings from around the world, and we're also offering 30% off all bottles of Riesling during happy hour every day.
Because we are capitalists. I love it.
And hey, you know, we're celebrating Riesling.
All right. Well, unfortunately, the show's about to end. I want to thank all our guests. I want to remind everybody that everything you heard about today and so much more can be found at the list, areyouonit.com. Nikki's website, it's free to subscribe, and there are only about 35,000 people who get their info there every day. As some of you may know, Nikki and I are making a run at reality TV. If you want to see our clip, it's on DC Eater. And interestingly, you have to search David Nellis to find it.
Well, that's because there's so many other things on me. It's a
bunch of gobbledygook.
It's like seven.
But
for
also, Stizita. So, also listen to Nikki at 12:50 every Sunday today on WTOP 103.5 FM. And Thursdays at what time? 10 of 11?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we're done. So,
well, I'm not done.
You can keep talking, but the show is over. Yes, there is plenty of barbecue. So we want to thank all of our guests today. We have a terrific show also next week. Enzo Fargioni is coming in, as well as Ruth Gresser from Pizzeria Paradiso. And Michael Holstein's coming
from Quench.
And the new team from Joe's Crab, which is opening up as well. So everybody please have a delicious week.